Well, we're going to be reading tonight out of Joshua chapter 6. So if you'd like to come read, you're sure welcome to do that. Joshua chapter 6. All right. Joshua chapter 6. All right. So let's do seven verses apiece. Brother Charles, you start us out, it looks like. You're the starter.
None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast, with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest, and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on, and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord.
Thank you, my brother. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I bid ye shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once, and they gave it They came unto the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord.
And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets. And the armed men went before them. But the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass that the 7th time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come unto the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. So the people So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword.
Right, thank you.
But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. The young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and her father, and her mother, and her brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver, and the gold, and the vessels of brass and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had, and she dwelt in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And Joshua adjured them at that time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and buildeth this city Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his first youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country.
Amen. All right, so turn to Hebrews tonight, chapter 11 and verse 30. And that's where we'll be preaching from today, or this passage is where we're going to read from. And then we'll go back to Joshua here this morning. So as we stand to our feet here this evening in honor of God's word, as we read one verse, and then we'll go back to Joshua. Here in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. We'll read it once again. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm thankful today, dear God, that you give us the Word of God. Father, I'm thankful today, dear God, that we're able to read the story. God, that men don't believe. Unbelievers today, dear God, mock at and make fun of. Father, yet today, God, here's a set of believers. Here's a group of believers tonight gathered around in your house tonight, God. And we believe every word that was spoken already. God, we're praying tonight, God, that you'd take that truth, Lord, that story that you've let us know and help us to learn. God, that we apply it to our lives and the message that you want us to know. God, give us the strength, the help, the courage, God, to go forth in this world, God, and let them know, God, that these truths, these facts that are given tonight are real, and this is what our God can do. And our God can do above and beyond this tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we know your power. God, we believe tonight, dear God, that you're above and beyond. God, there's no other God besides you. We believe tonight, Lord, you're the only true living God there is. And so, Lord, we bow our heads to you. We worship you tonight, Father, in spirit and in truth. Open our eyes and hearts tonight. May we walk with you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All right. I want to pass out one. I want to pass these out right here. One of you guys want to pass this out? Just give one. Give one to everybody. Now, when you look at that, that is just going to be a diagram of what the walls of Jericho look like. What the walls of Jericho look like. I want to sort of give you some kind of thought tonight. Now, there are many, many different numbers, but you'll see basically tonight of what that wall or those walls look like. So you can have a picture. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the walls of Jericho. Has anybody ever seen that as far as a picture? I know you've never seen it because it's not around here. It's been a long time ago. But just a picture of it, see what it looked like. And so tonight, that's what it looked like. And we'll go over it in just a minute. But I wanted to give that to you here tonight so you can see it. I want to say tonight, in the way of a message, Camera. All right. So we find that tonight what I'd like to just speak about, or the title that I put the message, it's just a normal wall. And as you look at the wall, it's just normal. There's nothing extra about it. There's nothing in material-wise that you would say would be odd. There's nothing about these walls that you'd say that would be extraordinary, or maybe something that would be, something we could look at and say, well, there's some kind of flaw, or there's something here that is made. It's made out of paper, or it's made out of something that just would melt, or something you just push over. But no, it's not that. It's made out of mud. It's made out of rock. It's made out of cement type of material and rocks and things of that nature. And so tonight, this is what the story's about. It's about right here in verse 30. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. So if you look at those walls, the story's about those walls falling down. And so it was important that those walls fell down for the children of Israel. And we'll get into that tonight and maybe understand it. But I want to say tonight, number one, that there's a message that the writer of Hebrews, I believe that is Paul tonight, is trying to send forth to us, the readers. As we take the Word of God in chapter 11, we see that the message that he's speaking of is about the Christian life. About the Christian life. And so tonight, what will be spoken will be to you that are saved, and so that you may be encouraged about the Christian life. Now, in this Christian life, there's this one word that is seen throughout this chapter. It's the word faith. And so tonight, you can't get saved outside of faith. By grace, through faith, are you saved. Tonight, you'll find that living, you'll live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So we know tonight that not you get saved by faith, but you live by faith. But then there's a dying faith. The Bible says there in that verse 13, these all died in faith. And so there's a dying faith. God will give you faith when you die. And so we find tonight that faith is the very substance of the Scripture. It's the very content of the Word of God. And so tonight when we talk, or when we preach, or when we hear, I want you to hear faith. Faith. This is about faith. This isn't about the wall, even though the wall was important, but it's not about the wall, it's about the faith. And so tonight we find, in the past, we find that there in chapter 11, verse 3, we see that through faith we. In order tonight to know and believe that God created the world, it's going to take faith. In order for you to know and believe that God made everything, it's going to be faith. Tonight you say, well, I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. You have no faith. You say, well, I don't believe that God created the world. I believe in evolution, or I believe in the Big Bang Theory. I believe in some other falsehood, well, then you just don't have faith tonight. So don't plan on going to heaven. Don't plan on living the Christian life, because you can't without faith. Because right there in verse 3 it says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. God said, let there be light, and out of nothing came something. He said, let there be earth, let there be water, let there be cow, let there be whatever it is tonight in the way of the what God has created tonight. He spoke it into existence. And it takes faith tonight to believe that. What takes faith by Abel, there in that verse 4, that God told him to offer a sacrifice that is of blood. And so it took faith for him to do that. Cain didn't. He gave of something different. And we find that God did not accept his offering, but he accepted Abel. Hey, it took faith for Enoch. Before he was translated, he had a testimony that he pleased God. It took faith to do that. It took faith for Noah to go out into the desert where there was never no rain and build a boat. That takes faith. It was faith tonight for Abraham, who was in the Ur of Chaldees, to be told to go to a land, I tell you later where you go, and then I'm going to make you a father of all nations, and it's going to be like the sands of the sea. And you just go forth and go out. And it took faith for Abraham to do that. It took faith tonight for Sarah, there in that verse 11, to find that she was past age to have a child. It took faith for Isaac to carry on the blessings that God told Abraham. Matter of fact, Abraham never received any of the promises that God gave. Isaac took up the promises and said, my father Abraham, he believed those, I believe the same. And then Jacob, after Isaac, did not see the promises either, but they believed, and it was by faith. And we see Joseph came in verse 22. Joseph didn't see the promised land. And so we find that it was by faith that Joseph believed. It was by faith that Moses, his parents, would take the three-month-old and put him into the water in the Nile there. It was by faith that Moses, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that he did that. It was by faith tonight that they passed through the Red Sea there in that verse 29. We preached on that last week, and it was faith as they walked out to the water and put the foot in the water, and then all of a sudden the Red Sea divided and they walked on dry ground. It was by faith. Tonight, we come to the same faith. It's by faith that the walls of Jericho fell down. It wasn't coincidence. It wasn't accident. It wasn't some other power other than the faith of these people tonight. Now, it was about tonight, you'll find that the children of Israel just came out of the wilderness. They've been messing around there for some time. And they come out, and it was Joshua that sent forth the spies and said, go into Jericho. He sure enough, he did. And that's when he ran across, of course, Rahab. The two spies came back and said, let's do it. Let's go out. And here it is. And this, that, and the other. And now we find that God says to Joshua, he says, okay, now let's get this thing moving. Let's go forward in what I'm going to give to you. And so we find that this thought, this message is about faith tonight. And so as we see that, but I want you to know it's not the past, but I want you to know it's the promise. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 1 through 4, we won't read it tonight, but right before Joshua, we find that God says, this is the land which I swear, this is yours, and you go get it. He told Moses that, but he said, Moses, you're not going to go into it, but they will go into it, and so just go. So here's the land, and he gave them the map of the land. He gave them the cities of the land. He said, this is going to be yours. This is going to be your descendants, your seed. This is exactly what I'm talking about when I say the promised land. This is what I'm talking about, Canaan land. This is where it's at. And he said to him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham. And so we find tonight that here was a promise for this land. Now, in this land, before this land could be gotten by the people of God, there were the enemies that were in the way. As soon as you come into Canaan land, you'll find that there was 31 hostile enemies there. It wasn't that the children of Israel just was given the land and everything just opened up and God said, okay, here's the land of milk and honey. And you just go in and enjoy. It didn't work out that way. That's not how God planned it to be, and it didn't work that in that manner. We find, though, there was 31 of those hostile enemies. Number one was Jericho. Jericho was in the way of getting to where they needed to go. We find that this Jericho was advanced in its warfare. It was advanced in its weaponry. It was mighty warriors. We find that if you turn to Joshua, as we're going to go there here this evening, we find that there they say that in verse 2. He says, the mighty men of valor. And so we know that this Jericho city, it was heavily fortified. It was one that the children of Israel would have never seen before. They'd been in the wilderness. They come out of Egypt. I mean, they'd never seen anything like this before. They never faced, and you got the picture of it tonight, that they never faced anything something like this. I mean, this is what they were looking at. This is what the enemies were at. This was Jericho. And if you look at it, if you see that upper wall, that inner upper wall, it says it's about 30 feet high. That's the back wall. Now, on top of that wall was the very Jericho was. That's where they lived. That's where they dwelled. And so you come down that wall, And then there is it's called an earthen embankment. You see that? That earthen embankment is 35 feet long. It's at a 35-degree angle. Now, that's pretty difficult if you're going to try to walk that embankment. And then you come down to the lower wall. That lower wall, it says it's about 23. I've seen people say it's up to 31 feet high. You see the base of it being 6 foot there. You see down at the very bottom of the ground, you see it look like little people there. I don't know if you can see that or not. But if you that's where the children of Israel will be standing, and you'd have to look up to that 6 foot wall, then look up to that wall that's 23 foot, and then you got to go through that embankment, then you got to go to the inner and upper wall, which is 12 foot at the base, and it's 30 foot high if you stand next to it. Now that's overwhelming. I mean, here the children of Israel, they got swords. what are you going to do with a sword? I mean, these people are sitting on top, and these people who are ones tonight who are Jericho, and so we find there's enemies in the way. And we find also that there's a barriers in the way. And this wall was a barrier. And so it was in the way. They couldn't get what God said they can have unless they go through Jericho. And they couldn't go through Jericho with something like this. I mean, this wasn't just a flat piece of land. This wasn't people that dug holes and were living in holes. You can see what they were in. I mean, there was another recording that I read. It says that back wall was up to 46 feet high. And so that's pretty high. I mean, here you got Israel, and there's a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of Israelites. They say, as I read and studied, 2 million of them. And so we find that's a lot of people, amen. But that doesn't mean they had anything to do to get rid of the wall. How can you contain the wall? How do you get up the wall? How do you get around the wall when the wall is, encircles the whole city tonight? And so as an Israelite, you had to be to a place where, you know what? There's a barrier. There's an enemy. And then I noticed thirdly tonight, there's an opposer. Look there in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 1. These people of Jericho, they heard about the God of Israel. And even Rahab mentioned that. And so we come to chapter 5 and verse 1. It says, "It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel." And so they were afraid. We're talking about the opposers being afraid because of God and what He's done. How He not only opened the Red Sea, but He opened the Jordan. Amen. How He has took care of the children of Israel. And the whole world at that point knew that the children of Israel was God's people. And boy, He protected them and He provided for them and He done for them as He did for no other people. We find the opposers were not only afraid, but the opposers were ready. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in." And so we find tonight that these people, yes, they were afraid, it seems, and yes, they were alarmed of the God of Israel, but they hunkered down. I mean, they wasn't going out of the walls. When they seen Israel come in and all the people come forth, they didn't run outside the walls and say, "Okay, we're going to kill them outside. We're not going to let them come in. There's no way they can get in anyway, but we're just going to knock them off as they come in." So they didn't go outside. They didn't come out to talk. They didn't come out to maybe try to work something out, to really just cause peace. The Bible says that they were ready. They were defending their city. I mean, they were ready to fight. Even though they were scared and even though they were ready, they were defending. They were all setting in place. They were all looking over the wall. They were all looking with all their weaponry that they have and everything that they to secure their city. This is their home. This is their family. This is their children. And this is all they got. This is all they have. And you don't build such a wall. You don't build such a fortress as this to let somebody just come and take it from you. And so we find that there was an opposer. I mean, God said, "I want you to have of this land. I want you to have of this promised land." But they couldn't get to the promised land because there was an enemy. There's 31 of them. This was the first one. And then there was a wall. There was a barrier for them to get there. And then thirdly, there was an opposer. And this opposer was ready, fortified, defending. And so it wasn't no easy battle. It wasn't something that just going to kind of come through and go through. It's not going to be that way. And so they wasn't coming out. They wasn't meeting with them. They were settled in. And this is their mindset. If you want our city, come and get it. That was the mindset. Well, here, but they didn't know, see, but they knew of the God of the Israel, but they didn't know the heart of Israel. They're pretty scared. You know, they're kind of a little weak and anemic, right? I mean, children of Israel, here comes a giant one day, and they were scared to death until David came. I mean, it just seems like they didn't have no fight in them. They seem like they just don't have any kind of grit within them. And so anytime anything comes up, they just fall apart, right? I mean, God takes them out of Egypt. He gets them in the wilderness, and the next thing you know, they won't go back into Egypt. I mean, what's wrong with you guys? And so we find that the children of Israel, they're not that strong. They're not that that powerful. And yet there's a lot of them. But yet we find tonight that they come against this barrier, come against this warriors had come against these people, and these people are saying, no, no, you're not coming in here. This is our city. There's absolutely no way that the children of Israel can get this city. It's in the way to the blessings. It's a promised land that God said, I'm going to give to you. But you know, it's not going to get easy. It's not going to be easy to get it. Tonight, we have a promised land. You know, the promised land tonight, or the Canaanite, or Canaan land, or the land of milk and honey, is not heaven for us. Did you know that? A lot of people say that the promised land is heaven. It's not heaven. It wasn't heaven for the children of Israel. It's not heaven for us. It's a promised land. It's a land where it flows with milk and honey. It's a land where God's promised. It's a land that God said, I will provide and protect. I will do all things for you. It's a land that I give to you, and it's a land that I'll be your God in. It's a land that you're mine, and I'll take care of you in my land. Well, our promised land is our abundant life as a Christian. As being a Christian tonight, you and I find abundant life in Christ. Tonight we find that we're living in the world, yet tonight we find that we have peace with God. That's the promised land. The promised land is the abundant life, and that we have peace with God. But not only that, but we rest in the Lord. That's our promised land. Not everybody tonight in this world rests in the Lord. They don't understand that. They haven't received it yet. They don't have it yet. They haven't got what God has promised to those who put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find that the promised land to us is that we trust on His Word. That tonight that we eat on the Word of God. That we find nourishment from God's Word. We find strength and courage. And we find tonight that we can move forward and move on. God's Word in the promised land of the Christian life. The Christian life tonight is a promised land in that we have liberty from sin. We don't have to sin. If you sin, you choose to sin. Nobody in this room has to sin after being saved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, that sin shall not have dominion over you any longer. For you're not under the law, but under grace. And so tonight we find, what shall we do? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. That's in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. And so tonight we find in this promised land for Christians that God wants everybody to be in there. It is a freedom or liberty from sin. It is a liberty to serve. So we don't have to serve sin no longer. We have to serve the devil no longer. We don't have to serve the flesh no longer. We can serve God. So the promised land is a place of joy. It's a place of happiness. It's a place of contentment. It's a place of satisfaction. It's a place of enjoyment of the spiritual life that God has given us through the Savior and through the Lord tonight. And God is saying to us, I just don't want to save you. Because all if I just wanted to save you, I would save you and kill you. But I want to save you, and I want to put you into the promised land. I want to give you that abundant life. I want to fill your life with my dear darling son. I want to dwell you with my spirit. I want to show you how great and glorious that I am. I want to have fellowship with you. I want a relationship with you. I want you to know that when you die, that you met the only true living God. And you worship Him in spirit and truth. That's the promised land for you and I tonight. God said, that's where I want you to go. But you know what? There's enemies in the way. There's barriers in the way. There is opposers in the way. Just like it was here. Amen? And so we find tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in Him. Every promise that God's ever made from Genesis all the way to today is in Jesus. And when you receive Christ, you receive tonight the promises of God. You'll find that every single one of them will be yea, and in Him, amen, under the glory of God by us. He says in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life, but they may have life more abundantly. And so tonight we find as Christians that we have to live in this old world, but we can live in the promised land of this world. Just like the children of Israel, they had to live in this world, but they can live in the promised land of this world. But it wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be a light thing. There was some enemies involved. There was some barriers involved. And there was some opposers. So, with that being said, tonight I want you to not only notice the message, but I want you to notice the might. The might. How are we going to get to our promised land? How is the children of Israel going to get to the promised land facing this? Well, number one, I notice the might tonight is God's people. That's how you're going to do it. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 2, He said, the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. What did He give to Joshua? He gave to Joshua the king, and He gave to Joshua the mighty men of valor. Who did He give to? He gave it to Joshua. Who has the might? Joshua. That's who God gave it to. And so this promised land was given to the people of God. That brought might. You'll never get to the promised land if you never get promised the promised land. So, everybody else is not promised the promised land. They have no strength, they have no ability, they have no might to get to the promised land. But every single one who's been promised the promised land has the might to get to the promised land. And so we find tonight that if you and I are going to get to that abundant life, which is the promised land in the spiritual sense tonight, it's going to be to those who He has given it to. That's the might of it. Every single person that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, been saved by the grace of God, who's repented of their sin, received Christ as their Lord and Savior tonight, has been given not only eternal life, but been given abundant life. And He says to us in the abundant life, you have the might to live abundantly. And so we find that the might of this promised land is in the people, God's people. Number two, I notice that with that being said tonight, the might is in God's plan. Now tonight, you may be of God's people tonight, but if you're not in God's will, then you'll not find this promise. You see, this promise is to God's people, yes, and children of Israel, but it's also His plan in order to get them there. In other words, He doesn't say to the children of Israel, Israel, I'm going to give you the promised land, figure out how to get there. That's not what He does. He doesn't say to you and I tonight, I'm going to give you abundant life, just live how you want to live. That's not what He says. See, tonight there's nowhere in the Scripture that gives us the ability or gives us the very privilege to live like we want to live. That's not in the Bible. And yet many people say that they're going to live like they want to live. Don't tell me how to live. I mean, I heard that since I've been pastoring for over 20-some-odd years, I heard that 100 billion times. Hey, preacher, I don't need you to tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to live. Hey, preacher, you just need to preach the word of God and stay out of my business. I mean, I hear those kind of things, and I don't try to get nobody's business. I'm trying to just preach the word of God. But the bottom line is when sin is hit on and touched on, and we find that the word of God is preached line upon line, precept upon precept, you're going to get hit from time to time. You're going to be spoken to time to time. You're going to come under conviction time to time. You're going to find that that God's going to speak to your heart in your home about your life. And so we find tonight we're thankful for those things that God is speaking to us and God is dealing with us. But the matter of fact is that God has a plan. And you got to do it God's way. If you're going to live this abundant life, you got to live it God's way. If you're going to be enjoying this Christian life, if you're going to be happy in this Christian life, if you're going to be satisfied and content and full of joy, and you're going to rest, and you're going to have peace, and tonight you're going to say, amen and glory, hallelujah, if I had to live this life again, I live it for Jesus. If you can say that, and you want to say that tonight, then you're going to have to experience this abundant life. Now, I'm afraid to say tonight, most people that are Christians tonight have never seen the promised land. They've never experienced the abundant life. They're still in the drudges of flesh. They're still trying to get a hold of their lives. They live in the wilderness just like Israel did for many, many, many years. Some of them never ever get out of the wilderness. They're still trying to figure out the milk of the Word. They can't get past that. They just don't ever get above the flesh. They don't ever get above their way of thinking. They never get above anything tonight. They stay little. They stay immature. They stay children. Yeah, they're going to heaven by the skin of their teeth. Oh, yeah, they're saved and Jesus lives in their heart. But, friend, they are not living the life that God would want them to live, the abundant life. There might be somebody in here tonight. You say you're saved. You say you love Jesus, but you're always mad. You're always miserable. You're unforgiven, and you got bitterness in your heart, and you always wanted to fight. You always want to argue. You always want to be stiff-necked. You always want to rebel. You always want to be stubborn. You don't want to follow instructions. You don't want to get directions. You don't want to listen to your mom and daddy. You don't want to listen to the cop. You don't want to listen to the person that's at the store who's the manager. You don't want to listen to your school teacher. You don't want to listen to your principal. You don't want to listen to your boss. You don't want to take any authority in your life. You think you're the authority, so you're going to live according to how you want to live, sir. Friend, listen, you need to know God because you don't. And so this thing about living this life in promised land, there's a might involved. And that might is the plan of God. There's a plan of God that must be followed. I notice in chapter 6 and verse 3, look at this plan. He said, God is saying to Joshua, and you shall compass the city of all men of war and go around about the city once. Thus shalt thou do in 6 days. And so very clear so far. He's given instructions. He's saying this is what you need to do. You're going to take men of war, not just any man, not just some men, not all the men, but men of war, men who are ready to fight, men who are ready to take on the Jericho people, the men who have been trained, the men who have has the weaponry, the men who have the mind, the men who have the heart. He said, I want you to get those men, the men of war. He said, I want you to go around the city one time, and I want you to do this for 6 days. We all know the story. I'm trying to give you God's plan. The second thing I noticed about this plan is in verse 4. He said, and 7 priests shall bear it before the ark. And so get the ark. 7 trumpets, so there's 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow with the trumpets. And so now we envision, according to the instructions, that we're going to do this. You're going to go down to the city, and you're going to go around it one time for 6 days. On the 7th day, you're going to take the 7 trumpets, the 7 priests, you're going to take the Ark of the Covenant, you're going to go around it 7 times. You're going to blow the horn, and when you blow the horn of the trumpets, the Bible says, then verse 5, it says, you shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. And so this is the plan. This is the plan that God sent forth to the people of God. The people have might. The plan has might. And so we find that we're going to do that, and at the end of this long ram that's being as a trumpet. They're going to shout. And when they shout, man, that wall just falls down. I just can't hardly believe that. You know, it's just, I wish I was there to see it. If I would have been there to see it, I wouldn't be here to say it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it just happened. And boy, what a good thought. What a glorious thought tonight that my God can take something like this tonight and He can just cause the walls to go flat. Amen. So we're talking about this plan. And so the plan was given. And then we notice tonight that the people was to ascend up. Now, if you take that plan that we have right here, those little people that are standing right here in the front, you can't barely see them. And I know my eyes are not that good, but I do see some little people. There's probably like three people there. You can just imagine when the walls go down that those people had to go up. The Bible says they ascended up. So it just tells us once again how true that it is tonight. So they had to go up this hill. They had to go up that 35 degrees earthen encampment. And they had to go up on top where the people were of Jericho. And so they find that they went up. But let me say this before we go any further. That plan, that's embarrassing. Isn't it? I mean, here you got men of valor. I mean, here you got, I don't know how many they were. Let's just say 1,000. And so you have 1,000 men of valor. You got 7 priests. And you got others who are carrying the ark. And they're going around this city. I don't know how long the city around the city was. Say it's 3 miles. And so they got this, got all these men of war. And they got this Ark of the Covenant. You got these 7 priests with these rams. And the first time they just walk around the city. Now, can you imagine Jericho, the man of valor of Jericho? Can you imagine the chief, the captain? What is wrong? What are they doing? They're just walking in line. They're just walking around. Where'd they go? Oh, they went back to the encampment. What is going on here? The next day, here they come. They walk around Jericho. People on top, people on the very top of those mountains, those walls. Here comes some Israelites again. What are they going to do? I guess they're going to attack us now, huh? They're trying to trick us. They're just walking around. This is the second day. Where'd they go? Where'd they leave? They went back to an encampment. I mean, it's embarrassing. We're fighting a battle. We got to take over Jericho. We got to get to the promised land. These people need to be taken care of. We need to get them down. We need to remove them from the face. We need to take it because God says that's our land out there. We got to get to it. And we're marching around it 6 days. And then God says on the seventh day to march around it 7 times. Now, can you imagine all the men of valor of Jericho? This is the 7th day. They done marched around it every day. Look at them. This is embarrassing. I mean, would you like to fight a battle like that? Oh, would you like to take a gun? Would you like to take a knife? Would you like to go and put all your armor on and put on everything you got and put all that weaponry and get all those plans and say, okay, we're going to attack here. We're going to go from the back. We're going to go from the top. We're going this way. Or do you just want to walk around Jericho 7 times? That's embarrassing, right? I mean, if you look at it, we're talking about battle and take over. And so we find now that it was, to me, it was kind of silly. Right? I mean, there's been battles taking place before. There's been people who has lost in battles and won in battles. But I don't ever remember anybody just marching around the city. Do you? It seems like, man, if you're going to march around the city, you're going to get shot. There's one down. Another down. Just march around the city. It's silly. Embarrassing. I say, number 3, that it was different. It was different. There was no other battle you can think of tonight that could be won in order to get past this enemy, past this barrier, past this opposer, in order to get to the land that was promised to us. It's a little different. But then I say here, fourthly, it was pretty powerful. It was pretty powerful. I mean, as you see it tonight, the enemy's removed, right? The walls came down. That means now the enemy's removed. And now the barriers tonight are down. And then the opposers tonight were gone. All it was just a blowing of the trumpet seven times around and a shout. And next thing you know, the enemy, who's that? The wall, where did it go? The opposers, where are they at? Wow, what a great victory. What a wonderful success. What a God in His plan. Can I say here, not only was God's people the might, and God's plan is the might, but God's promise is the might. In verses 6 through 10, these people, in order for them to find victory and get to the promised land and experience the abundant life of joy and blessing from God the Father tonight in Christ Jesus, it's going to take following directions. Is that true? I mean, he said, you got to follow these directions in 6 verse 10. Let's read them. It says, Joshua said unto the son of Nun, called the priests and said unto them, take up the Ark of the Covenant. So we find that the priests had to take up the Ark of the Covenant. Follow instructions. And let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. Follow instructions. Not eight, not six, not behind it, not next to it, before it. Instructions. He says in verse 7, and he said unto the people, pass on. Come past the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. Directions. I mean, listen, there is some certain directions right here. We the people pass on, the people don't stay back, the priests are seven, the ark is before. I mean, listen, there is some detailed directions here. And we find in verse 8, and it came to pass when Joshua had spoken unto the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord, blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Do you see the details of this directions now? I mean, he just didn't say, gather up a priest, get seven of them, blow horns and yell when I tell you to. No. There's some who go ahead, there's some pass on, there's some stay behind. Something goes in front, this is in front. And it's got to be exact. Or the walls won't come down. Or the enemy will not be defeated. Or the opposer will not go away. So the follow directions. The promise of God in His promised land has everything to do with following directions. We have a hard time with following directions. We buy something. It gives us a pamphlet of directions. We throw the directions away and try to put it together without directions. And we try to find, why do we have screws left over? Why do we have a piece of wood left over? Why do we got metal left over? And then when our wives tells us, hey, won't you read the instructions? We get mad at them. And tell them, hey, listen, I know what I'm doing. Don't we? Amen, Brother Larry. I got to say amen on that one. That's true. We take off on a trip. Right? The wife says, well, you know where you're going? Oh, yeah, man. I know exactly where I'm going. Next thing you know, you're somewhere and you don't want to say nothing, but you really don't know where you're at. You try to sneak your phone now. Used to be that old orange book, right? That old map book. What was it? Atlas or something like that. Key map. Yeah. Little key map. But you got your phone out now, you're sneaking it in, trying to get Google Maps and everything, trying to get your directions. Well, we've been around this place three times. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I know exactly where I'm. We don't know, we don't like, and we don't follow instructions. We'll never get to this abundant life. We'll never get to this promised land that God has for us until we start following directions. Is this true? You can't get there the way you want to. You got to get there the way He tells you to get there. And so we find in this directions here in verse 9, and the armed men went before the priest and blew the trumpets, and the reward came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing the trumpets, and Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout." There probably be no Baptist in this group. Baptist has to talk. We have to comment. We have to have the last word. We have to just seem like be right. We cannot think and let nobody else think that we can't say nothing. When somebody tells me I can't say nothing, I want to say something. That's the way you are too? Or is it just me? Be quiet. I'm thinking inside of me, I want to shout so bad. I just want to say something. Don't say nothing. Be real quiet. All I'm saying tonight, in order for us to get to this promised land, in order for the Israelites to get to the promised land, they had to follow directions. Is that true? Number two, not only did they have to follow directions, but they had to obey instructions. And we find in verse 10 and 11, he says, don't say nothing. Don't let nothing come out of your voice at all, not even a little squeak. And then verse 11 says, so the ark of the Lord came past the city, going about once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. Obey instructions. Obey instructions. Talking about faith tonight. In order for you to be faithful, you have to follow direction. In order for you to have faith tonight, you have to be obedient to instruction. You look at a wife and she's not obedient to her husband. She's not submissive to her husband. She's fighting with her husband. She's rebelling against her husband. She's one with little faith. You have a husband who's taking his wife and he's using her and abusing her. He's treating her as if she's a child. He's treating her as if she is one of his friends from years ago, but not loving him, not loving her and not cherishing her and not treating her with respect and giving her what she has been built for, as far as God's making her to be the weaker vessel, and so that he's not as that treasure the Bible teaches tonight. And we find that he is a man of little faith. Yeah, but he goes to church and she comes to church and they teach Sunday school and they preach messages and they're missionaries someplace. No, it's all about who you obey. It's all about who you follow. You follow directions. You obey instructions. You have faith. You're living in that abundant land. You're enjoying God. You're receiving the blessings of the Lord. If you can't follow instructions and you can't obey directions tonight, then you are going to be some miserable Christian in this world. You can't enjoy this world because of God, but you can't enjoy God because of the world. You're in limbo. You're not really enjoying anything tonight. That's a miserable person, and there's many Christians like that today. Because they don't want to follow directions and they don't want to obey instructions. And then thirdly tonight, believing their predictions. Verses 12 through 16 tonight. I don't have time to read it there, but can I say it just took effort? They did everything that they was asked to do. If you read through it there and you come down verse 16, the Bible says, it came to pass at the seventh time the priest blew the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Hey, they believed that. They believed what Joshua said. They believed what God said. They believed the predictions that would take place. God said, I'll give you the city if you do this, do this, do this. All you got to do is obey me. All you got to do is follow me. All you got to do is take my instructions, take my directions. You got to do exactly what I said. And they believed that. They believed that God would give them that city. They believed the predictions that God made. He said, I'll give you that city. And sure enough, they did exactly what he asked. It took effort. It took energy. But what was the measurement? My last point, the measurement. Verse 30. Verse 30 in Hebrews, it says, after they were compassed about 7 days, Here's the measurement of faith. I done mentioned it once. It's obedience. Why do the enemies win in your life? Because you're disobedient. You know why tonight the barriers are staying in your life and they won't come out of your life? Because you're disobedient. You know why tonight the very opposers are still ineffective in your life? It's because you're disobedient. You don't obey God's Word. You don't obey God's Spirit. You don't obey God's man. Tonight, you're disobedient tonight. And you'll never get ahead. You'll never get where you want to go. And you're not in the plan of God. And you're going to find yourself in trouble. Number two, the measurement of faith is faithfulness. You kind of wonder why the enemies are mocking you, making fun of you, laughing at you. It's because you're unfaithful. Faithfulness tonight is a measurement of faith. And you got to wonder why the barriers are enlarged. It seems like you got one barrier, now you got another barrier. Now the barrier gets bigger. You know why? Because you're unfaithful. That's why. You wonder why that the very opposers just stand. They don't ever go away. It's because you're unfaithful to God. You're unfaithful to His Word. You're unfaithful to His Spirit. You're unfaithful to His church. See, at His church tonight, when you become unfaithful to it, is where you find instruction, where you find direction, and where you find the prediction. If you miss it, you take it, you're unfaithful to it tonight, you're going to find yourself not in the abundant life. Oh yeah, you'll be saved, but you won't enjoy your salvation. You'll be saved, but you'll find heartache and hardships and hard times. You'll just never seem to say, you know what, just don't seem like it ever just works out for me. Then the results. I mean, look in verse 20 of Joshua chapter 6, we find the results was that God knocked down the wall. How do you know that? How do you know what the faith is tonight? Where you're faithful at? God knocked down the wall. In other words, they were faithful. They were obedient. How do we know that? God knocked down the wall. That's how. Tonight, if you have a wall in your life that's keeping you from the abundant life, keeping you from satisfaction and keeping you from being of the joy and rest and peace with God, keeping you from being that Christian that has a great joy and great privilege and just lives and laughs and goes forth in life and finds themselves always enduring and pursuing. It just seems like there's a wall that comes up to them. They just knock that wall over. There's another wall. Knock that wall over. Knock that wall over. Well, that just gives a result that there's faith in their lives. Right? The walls just keep on going down. I'll tell you another result that results faith is that God has given you the city. Verse 20, the Bible says that the wall fell down flat so that the people went into the city and every man straight before him and they took the city. Tonight, there's enemies tonight. There's the city tonight. And the city was taken down. That's a result of faith. The city went down because of faith. And tonight, in our Christian life, in our abundant life, we don't have liberty of feelings because our city is still there. Our opposer, our enemy, is still there. We don't have freedom of thoughts. Our thoughts are all taken up with other things. We don't have the freedom of actions, independence of action, because the city's not gone. But when the city's gone, you find liberty. You find independence. You'll find freedom. Can I say here thirdly? The results is that God destroyed the opposer. Verse 21. And they utterly destroyed all that was in that city. Verse 24. And they burnt the city with fire. See, how do you know that faith is in abundant life in your life? Well, you know it because the walls are knocked down. And because the city is destroyed. But then thirdly, you know it because the opposer is gone. And you know that by looking at your situation and saying this. And they could say this too in Jericho. The children of Israel said, you know what? That Jericho, that one of the 31 enemies in my way, guess what? It's behind me. Huh? See, that's how you know you're walking by faith tonight. It's behind you. Not still in front of you. That wall, that opposer, that enemy, it's behind me. Amen. If you still got troubles, you still got problems with enemies and barriers, and you still got opposers tonight, you better look at your faith. Hey, it's past me. It's under me. It's under me now. What happened to your wall? It's gone. What happened to the city? The opposer, the enemy? It's out of here. Hey, that's life tonight. And that was life for the children of Israel, and be life for you and I in our walk with God. Can I say to you tonight? It's just a normal wall. It can be knocked down, but it's going to take faith to get it done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I'm going to pass this one out to you too before you leave. You can get it if you want it. It shows that wall knocked down. Let's put it right here. It shows that wall knocked down. And when that wall's knocked down, it filled in the gap. That wall filled in the gap so they can walk up the mountain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray tonight. If you feel led to pray, you come pray. If you don't, you just don't pray. Tonight, I was debating whether to pray because I've kind of went long, but I feel like we need to pray. And so, let's pray tonight.